Will you turn with me, please, to the Gospel by Mark and chapter 15? Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and I'd like to read from verse 15 down to verse 20. Another incident in the developing narrative concerning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in the cross. We have this incident, verses 15 to 20. I'd like particularly to focus on verse 17 this morning. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away unto the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple robe, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord bless our meditation upon it this morning. And particularly verse 17, I'd like to center our thoughts this morning on actually a phrase in there. Verse 17, they clothed him with a purple robe, and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Particularly the crown of thorns. Now, among the indignities that the Lord Jesus suffered in these moments before he was nailed upon the cross are some of these incidents that we have recorded for us in these verses, and particularly the crown of thorns. I would suggest to you that this is something of considerable significance, symbolically and suggestively, which is why I'm going to focus upon it this morning. He has been rejected, Jesus has, by the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin. He has been rejected by the Roman governor, Pilate. He has been rejected, in a real way, by the people themselves, the people that were gathered there to whom Pilate spoke and who cried out for the release of Barabbas and for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is treated shamelessly by them all, but he is also treated shamelessly, particularly by the soldiers, as described in these verses here from 16 to 20. And this is very suggestive, particularly this reference to the crown of thorns. And three of the four gospel writers make reference to it. And therefore it seems to be of not a little significance. It is part of the mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. I dare say many of you, if not all of you, were watching some part, if not all, of what happened on Friday. Something happened on Friday. And I would just say about that, that I didn't see all of it, or necessarily much of it, but what I saw and read in the order of service at least indicated, happily, a respect for Christian things and Protestant tradition. And we wish the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge well in their married life. How wonderful it would be, and how we ought to pray for this, that there would be among the royal family those who were out and out for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, real followers of his. And that is something for which we should pray. But certainly, with reference to what happened on Friday, there was not any mocking of the Lord Jesus Christ or his institutions. But there is largely in our society so much mockery of Christ, so much ignorance about him and about his claims, so much indifference to the Word of God, indifference to his church. And do you feel this morning how sad it is, this indifference that there is to Jesus, this indifference to his church, this indifference to his day, indifference to his teaching? And you know, people mock Jesus in various ways. And they mock Jesus in ways perhaps which seem very much different from what's happened here in these verses. We might say in a sophisticated sort of way, but whether it is one way or the other, ignoring Christ and his claim has an element of mockery in it. Well, in taking our thoughts from what we have in verse 17 and this crown of thorns, I'd like us to notice three things. It was a crown of derision. It certainly symbolized this. And in fact, it was intended to be such by these soldiers. A crown of derision. The robe, the crown, the mocking worship. It was entertainment at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope when we were reading these verses over, there was something in your mind and in your heart that cringed. Not just that thinking about what the experience was, but that this was done towards the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They recognized, of course, that he claimed to be a king, but they thought it absurd, as many continue to do. Many considered it absurd. They considered it to be ridiculous, refusing his claims, treating Jesus as if he were irrelevant for their lives or for their deaths. What they did was twist a painful crown of thorns and put it on his head. And it was an action which indicated that they thought his claims were ridiculous. He was, of course, despised and rejected of men. He was despised and rejected by the religious leaders. We have this, chapter 14, verse 65. He was rejected by the crowd, verse 13. They cried out, "Crucify him." And now he is rejected by the executioners in these verses. And the King of Kings bore this all with patience and dignity. All this mockery and abuse, he bore it with patience. But what abuse he suffers in our day as well. This glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save, who came to do us good, who came to teach us what was right, what was the truth of God. And people mock him because they don't pay any attention to it, because they think the claim is ridiculous. They will not have him. They will not have him. They think him of no account. And very sad to have a government by and large which is more concerned about multi-faith and even parts of the church, multi-faith and multicultural aspects than the truth as it is in Jesus. And it is a mockery of Jesus for anyone, even in this place or outside, to leave him out of account. At any level of society, it is a derision. Or there is, shall we say, an element of derision in not receiving and accepting his word. You open the scriptures, You hear the faithful preaching of the word. But does it move your heart? Does it move your heart to seek him? Does it move your heart to receive him? To close with him? But then, what if his day being trampled underfoot? What about his worship being ignored? What about his word being unread? It is a mockery. It is a mockery. It is deriding Jesus. It is saying, well, these things are not necessary. They may be necessary for you, dear deluded friend, but not for me. It is, in effect, twisting a crown of thorns upon his head, a crown of indifference, a crown of derision. So when we think of this crown of thorns mockingly placed upon Jesus' brow, the first thing that it strikes us is how derisive it was of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But then it was also a crown of suffering. Of course it was a crown of suffering. After all, why thorns? Why thorns? Why this crown of thorns? To inflict pain and discomfort. You can imagine it. Or can you imagine it? Or I invite you to imagine it. Just imagine for a moment. Or think of a bramble bush growing up in your garden or nearby. And you know how these bushes grow. This thorn that was put into a crown for the Lord would have been far worse than a bramble bush type thorn. But you can imagine it. Here it is, this bramble coming through. And if you try to remove it with your bare hands, try removing it with your bare hands. Well, it's going to be a painful experience. Indeed, a near impossible task. Now think of the thorns twisted into a crown and placed on the Lord's head. It would have punctured and torn the flesh. By tradition, the thorn has been called the Christ thorn, a bush or a shrub which had pliable branches and thorns of various sizes. And the idea of doing this, going through this process of making up this crown, and the actual pain inflicted by it made it such a terrible thing to experience by the Lord. Paul Gerhardt wrote poetically, he said, "O sacred head, sore wounded, with grief and pain weighed down, how scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. How pale art thou with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn." Not only was there the pain of the thorny crown itself placed on his head, but there was the pain of being struck by a reed. Besides the mental pain and agony that there was in the very mocking itself of these people, it was a terrible situation. But when we think of that crown of thorns, we can't but think of the first mention of thorns in the Bible. You children, do you know what the first mention of thorns is in the Bible? Think about it. You start in the book of Genesis, and everything seems fine. And then you get to chapter 3 of Genesis. And there's the fall of man into sin. And what was one of the consequences of the fall of man into sin? One of the consequences was that thorns and thistles came up. First mention of thorns. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 18. And what did that speak about? The thorns and the thistles coming up, or the bramble bushes coming up in such profusion. It speaks about the curse upon the ground. The removing of these things is a laborious thing, painful thing. It was a response to the fall of man into sin. Now we look out upon the world and we see wonderful sights and experience. And in the past week we have experienced that. Today we experience, don't we? Looking out there, what a beautiful day it is. And it is a wonderful sunny day and it's warm, beautiful weather. And we recognize, or ought to recognize, when we look out there with the sun coming down, the heavens declare God's glory, and the heavens show his earth shows his handiwork. We recognize it. Indeed, people are expected to recognize in it the being and power of God, and are inexcusable if they don't. And there are many people go through and they look up to the sky and they look out down to the earth and they think, what a great... And people come to live in an island like this because of the beauties. Although much of it is reverting to nature and wilderness because it's not cultivated anymore. And that itself reminds us of, well, there's something. This is not being cultivated, therefore it is wild and it will grow wilder. There is a curse on it, even though it seems so beautiful. There is a curse on it. But Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 1, he says that men are inexcusable for not seeing and acknowledging the being and power of God through the very creation before their eyes. Yet the fact is, notwithstanding there is this residual beauty left, which will tell us and leave us inexcusable for not believing in God and listening to what he says, notwithstanding this, there is a curse evident. Think, for example, of the earthquakes recently, or the terrible storms that have been sweeping through the southern states of the United States of America. Think of the thorns and thistles growing up by nature, constantly having to be worked at by farmers, by gardeners to remove them. Think of the parable of the seed and the soils that Jesus speaks about in Mark's Gospel. It's in chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19. We spoke about this, we preached about this earlier, the parable of the seeds and the sower and the soils. And there was one of these types of soil. And in this soil, there was a thorns grew up. This is the thorny ground here. It's interesting that it should speak about the thorny ground. Who is the thorny ground here? These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So even in relation to our hearing of the word, the whole idea of thorns comes in, choking out the word. There is therefore, I would suggest to you, an ironical significance in the use of thorns as a crown placed upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unwittingly, that was used which spoke about the curse, which spoke about sin. And the curse imposed upon this world because of sin. That's what thorns spoke about. And the very Son of God, who had come to deal with sin and provide its remedy, had the sign of this curse on account of sin placed upon his own head. Do you see the ironical significance of it? Jesus had come. Well, for what reason? He had come to reverse, as it were, what Adam had done. Paul again says, just as through writing to the Romans, he says, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of this one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. In other words, Christ bore in his saving work, not least bore the curse in his saving work. not least by his death on the cross. He bore what? The thorn of sin. He bore the thorn of sin and the curse that came through the first man. Paul writes to the Galatians, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. His bearing or his wearing the crown of thorns imposed upon his head by wicked men is therefore, I would suggest, you're very suggestive of a symbol of what was happening to him. At that point, unseen by men, what was happening to him? What was happening to him? He was bearing the thorns of the curse. He was being made a curse for sinners. And this crown of thorns then becomes such a symbol, unwittingly to those who were doing it, of what he was doing there in bearing the curse represented by the thorns themselves. He was being made a curse for sinners. It would culminate, of course, it does culminate in the cross itself. As Paul writes to the Galatians so clearly, there is therefore that significance of this symbolical, albeit mocking act. Those who did it as an act of mockery, this crown of thorns. And it was that, but it involved, unwittingly, a symbol of what was going on. Jesus bearing the curse. Jesus bearing the thorn of sin. And the believer may well ask, alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? And the glorious answer to that is, yes. Yes. There is more significance, you see, even in this mockery of these soldiers, which no doubt is why this incident is mentioned. Of the crown of thorns is mentioned by three of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and John. We are, I think, being invited to see a significance in it. Would he devote the sacred head for such a worm as I? The believer can say yes. But listen, what about those who are not? What about those who are still unsaved, unconverted, not professing yet faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? There is a call in this for young and old to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who took the thorn of the curse of God on behalf of sinners who come to believe upon him. And I would say this is a call to young and old, and it is a call equally to you young people in the congregation, you children here this morning. Your life, people say, is before you. What remains of our lives in this flesh is before us, all of us. We don't know how long it is going to be. Not the children, nor the oldest person here. But nevertheless, we often say, you children, your life is before you. And that is so, in the normal course of things. But you will not live well apart from trusting in Christ and following him. You will not live well apart from him. Living a life without living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for old people, for middle-aged people, for young people, is folly. That is our conviction. Because there are eternal issues here. And these are issues that young and old must face. A life well lived is a life lived in obedience to Jesus and in love for Jesus. I would plead with you, young children here and older children, to remember this. Because unless you come to faith in Jesus, it will all end in the folly of a lost eternity. But thirdly, this was not just a crown of derision, which it certainly was, a crown of suffering, which it certainly was, suggestive of what Jesus was doing in suffering for sin and sinners. But it was also a crown of victory. In a sense, it is harder to get this out of the incident here than the others, but hopefully we can see it. Jesus allowed this to happen to him. He could have called, as he says in one of the accounts with the conversation with Pilate, legions of angels to deliver him. But he is the King of Kings. But he allowed this to happen. He had to suffer because he was going to be a sacrifice for sin. But this word crown, crown of thorns, crown can alternatively be understood or translated as a wreath. Wreath. It was the sort of thing a soldier would wear upon his head, not made of thorns, but a wreath, which a soldier would wear after a triumph or a victor would have in the Olympic Games, for instance. So what we have here in the crowning of Jesus with thorns, though it seemed part of a defeat, might equally be seen from another perspective as a victory. It was intended as a mocking act on the part of the soldiers, but again, unwittingly, they were giving him a wreath that would point forward to a far different crown, the crown of victory. And what does the eye of faith see in Jesus here? Well, we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 2, and when we consider verse 9, we see Jesus, says Paul to the Hebrews. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Faith sees the crown of thorns as a wreath of victory. Yes, he was rejected by them. He is viewed indeed as a king bearing shame and derision and suffering. It was for such that he came into the world. In truth, he became a victor, not vanquished, not defeated. He became a victor over sin and death. And what he went through, notwithstanding, by all appearances, it was a defeat. And including this mocking act of putting this crown of thorns upon him. But nevertheless, he would come through. He would overcome. And it was like something that pointed forward to a crown of victory, a wreath of victory. People who deride the Lord or think of Christian faith and Bible teaching as a species of folly or of little or no account are pursuing a life themselves of folly and futility. True it is that Jesus was no earthly monarch, but he is more. He is more. Like we read there in Hebrews 2 and 9, crowned with glory and honor. And that is what Christ is now. Crowned with glory and honor. He is victor. This Christian faith is not something in which we are struggling under some form of defeat, struggling to persuade people that after all, we are not defeated when all the time we are. No, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who has suffered and died in the place of sinners, that there would be salvation for sinners like us. But he is the one before whom we all will appear one day, sooner or later. We are going to appear before him as our judge. And he is the judge who will perfectly exercise his judgment. People stand in judgment upon Jesus here. They did this then in these events of which we've been reading, standing in judgment upon Jesus. And people stand in judgment upon Jesus here when they think of him as being of no account, when they think of his teaching as being dispensable, when you can cast it away with impunity, apparently, the standing in judgment on Jesus. But ultimately, it is they who are going to be judged by him. And the call to all people everywhere is to acknowledge him, to receive him as Savior, as the victor. The victor over the grave and death and sin and Satan. And the call to people, all people everywhere, is to take his word seriously, to humble themselves before him, to repent of their sins, and to receive him as their personal Savior. Well, this crown of thorns is mentioned by Matthew and Mark and John. Highly significant. Intended, of course, as a mockery of Jesus. And it was a mockery for those who did it, these soldiers. It was intended to cause suffering to the one upon whom it was placed, which it certainly would have done. Why did the Lord bear it, all the suffering and derision? It was to pay the price for sin for all who come to be saved by him. We're in a sad day. We're in a day in which Jesus and his teaching, these are not given the place that they ought to be given. I dare say, in our own hearts and lives. I dare say, in the life of the church. I dare say, in the life of our communities. I dare say, in the life of our schools and centers of learning and corridors of power. Christ, he is not given the place that he ought to have by the movers and shakers of our day, by the media. He is not given the place that is his due in the hearts and lives of men, women, and children, just like you. It is a sad day, like a crown of thorns being twisted and placed upon his head. People are preoccupied with themselves. They are preoccupied with material things. But the call of the gospel still is, turn to the Lord. Live your life under his lordship. Every aspect of your life in the flesh. And no one is exempt from this call. And believers here, those of you who do profess and do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior, be an example. Be an example of one of those who sincerely follow Christ. Give evidence in your life of following him, of love and obedience for him and for his word. Be an example of it in this world. An example of it to your children, to your grandchildren, to your brothers and sisters and parents and everyone around. This is what the world needs. And it is only this way that blessing will come in your life, in my life, in the life of the church, and also in the community. In other words, the call of the gospel is, to receive this one who is the King of Kings and in a sense to crown him as Lord in your life. To crown him as such. To recognize him as such. Unashamedly receiving him who is worthy of all our allegiance. More so than any mere monarch in this world. And may the Lord give his blessing upon these thoughts, upon his word. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we are thankful to thee for thy word and pray that this Holy Spirit will bless it to our hearts this morning. Be with us, Lord, and help us to live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as King, as Lord, as the one who has borne the curse, who has taken the thorn of sin and has prevailed. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not just by sight. Bless us all here and all our loved ones near and far. Prosper us in thy ways and cleanse us from our sin. For Jesus' sake. Amen.